Good evening, Calvary.
Good evening.
What a blessing to be back in the Lord's house this evening. And truly is the Lord's house. It's not mine. It's not yours. It belongs unto the Lord. I trust that you've had a good week thus far, feasting on the Word of God from Sunday. It was a blessing to be here. For those that weren't here, I sure did miss you. Found out just after we left here that we didn't see anybody saved last week when we were out in Carthage, Tennessee, preaching the revival for Brother Jason Rich and the folks out there at Malone's Chapel Baptist Church. But we got a message Sunday afternoon, shortly after we got out of church. There's an hour's difference between here and there. So we've been out of church just a little while and got a message from them that they had a soul saved on Sunday morning worship service. That was a blessing. I believe that was to help them and their church to be enthused coming out of that revival. Let's just continue to pray for those folks. Bethel's in revival this week. Brother Tommy Worth is over there through maybe tonight or last night, and then Brother Joe Arthur will be there the remainder of the week. So if you get a chance like to be a part of that revival, I'm sure you'd be blessed by being there. Tonight, I told my wife earlier that we need to be in prayer for Barbara Johnson's mom, and I think she heard Margaret Johnson instead of Barbara Johnson. And everybody's asking Miss Margaret how her mom is. Margaret's mom's not having a pinky toe removed. But Barbara Johnson's mother's been taking down the baptism, and it looks like she may be losing a pinky toe. So y'all pray for Miss Barbara Johnson's mother. Do you know her given name? Barbara?
Margie.
Margie. Let's pray for that request. And not just that, we've got many that's got different prayer requests. Miss Laura had us praying for Brother Woody. He had another infusion today and just needs our prayers. And let's just continue praying for those that's not here. You look around, you know, normally we would have RG and Gene Potts in here a whole lot more than we get to see them. Ron and Lynn Ham's not here, and we just keep looking around. You see people that are not here, Brother Ronnie Billings, Cliff and Ray, Miss May Bumgarner. Over and over and over, we see our sick and shut-ins. Let's don't forget those, Miss Janie, Miss Ruth, those in the nursing homes and so on. But anyway, let's just pray for one another. If you've got a copy of God's Word tonight, turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 16 tonight. And what a blessing to be in the Lord's house. And I trust that God's going to help you tonight with this message. It helped me. When God sends something, I get it first. And that's a blessing because I get it and I'm like, man, this is food for my soul. And it really is. Every time I get a message and the Lord speaks to us, Brother Kenny knows what I'm talking about. When God just opens up his book and, man, he shines the light on a passage or maybe gives you the thought. And then you start praying about it, and then he shows you the scripture. Brother Chris likes to have a little nugget to chew on, and sometimes he'll say, just give me a verse, or just give me a word, or give me the title of the message or something. And I actually gave Brother Chris the title of this message earlier today, as I did my wife. And Brother Chris, whenever I sent him this, I'll go ahead and give you the title of the message. And the title of the message is, The Problem with Skipping Meals. You say, wait a minute here. There's a danger in skipping meals, and I sent that to Brother Chris, the problem of skipping meals. Brother Chris sent me the text back with a question mark, Exodus 16 question mark, and I sent him that one with eyes like this. Y'all ever get the one like this? That's the one I sent him back like, how did you know that? And he said that he got to meditate on the Word of God. That's where he was taken in his mind. Let me just ask you real quickly, is there anybody in here healthy enough right now in their life? And Brother Tim, I don't know about you. You know, I know you've been having treatments and one thing and another. But is there anybody in here healthy enough tonight that they'll probably never eat again? Ever? See, that would be a big negative. Nobody in here is going to say I'm healthy enough that I would never have to eat again. Spiritually speaking, are you healthy enough that you would never have to dine on the Word of God again? The answer, that's the same thing. It's a big no. Is there anybody here tonight that probably, Brother Chris, you want to share something with the group? It's a wonder Chris doesn't change churches. Is there anybody here tonight that probably won't eat anything between now and Sunday? So everybody will probably partake in a meal between now and Sunday. I'd say we all will, unless you yourself have proclaimed a fast according to the Word of God. And hey, fasting's biblical, and I'll take you to that. We preached the message on that one time here, but anyway, and then nobody would know about it anyway. That's between you and God. If you go around trumpeting the fact that you're I'm on a fast, you know, go ahead, and you might as well go ahead and eat your Big Mac and flush it down with a Whopper, because you're not going to get anything out of that. So anyway, I would just say the same thing. If you don't crack the spine on your Bible between now and Sunday, there's a problem. And you'll see that as we try to bring this message tonight. And there will be people that won't pick up their Bible between Wednesday and Sunday or Sunday and Wednesday. Tonight I'm going to bring a message, like I said, with the Lord's help and just the message He put on my heart about the problem of skipping meals. And if you've turned with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 16, we'll go ahead and stand all over the house of God tonight for the reverence of God, the reading of God's Word. And it is a blessing to be here. I know I've already said that two or three times, but my friends, you can't get what you get in here out there. Brother Gary, when you're driving that big old Walmart truck up the road, and I mean, you're peddling the cheap Chinese products all over the world, do you get that fuzzy feeling? Do you get that warm feeling of spiritual enrichment and nourishment while you're out there driving, running over Toyota Priuses and just pushing stuff out of the way? You don't get that out there. You just don't get it out there. So let's, and brother, can we call your situation out, or you want to hold that just to your pastor or what? Brother Gary's dad is having some tests. Not sure yet, but they think that he may have a form of cancer, either pancreatic.
It wasn't cancer, but he has a gallbladder that is leaking, and they will not
believe. So he's got a faulty gallbladder, and they're not going to be able to operate it on it. So anyway, it's better than what you told me yesterday. Yesterday you said they were looking at pancreatic cancer, so if they ruled that out, then that's a plus. And it's probably a prayer answered of either you or me or Regina or somebody, because we were praying that he didn't have cancer. So let's pray for Brother Gary's dad and mom. Let's pray for their spiritual condition. I'm preaching tonight about food, and I'm preaching tonight about meals, but this is spiritual. You'll see some similarities I try to get into this. But anyway, we'll go ahead and read the Word of God tonight if I can get my spectacles on. And as you well know, that I don't have to get you the whole story, but the children of Israel had been in bondage. They had fled their homeland, went down into Egypt. God had foreordained and sent Joseph down there to become their provider or provision during the time of their bondage. But now they've been delivered, and they've left that Egypt's land. They're headed toward Canaan. And here we are in 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, and the Bible said, "And they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died at the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law. In my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." I'll go on down. I want you to see this and pick up just a couple more verses down here. Verse number 11 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh in the morning, and you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay on the ground, lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And then it says in verse number 18, And when they did meet it with an omer, he had gathered much had nothing. He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack, that every they gathered, let me back up, and he that hath gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. I'm going to ask Brother Kippy Hamby to bless us with a word of scripture, a word of prayer now, and bless the scripture reading as we'll continue here tonight. Man, as you're being sent down, years ago I heard Brother Mays Jackson. I don't know if anybody's ever heard Brother Mays, but the truck driver special, Brother Mays Jackson, one of them old-timey preachers, and he preached a message entitled, "Don't Let Your Manna Melt." In other words, the Bible said that when the sun come up, it melted. You had to get it while it was good. And I'm telling you tonight, you better get it while it's good. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And there's no better time or place to hear from heaven than whenever you gather together in his house, under his roof, under his preaching of the anointing of his man out of his book. That's just plain old, that's a buffet. You come in and you get it, and I bless God, he'll bless you. And then I want you to think about this. This whole message tonight about the problem of skipping meals. It deals with your faithfulness. It deals with my faithfulness, my devotion as a pastor to study the Word of God, to make sure that when it comes time for me to pick up the Bible and read out of the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5, when it says unto the elders among you, which I am also whenever I exhort to feed the flock of God. I cannot feed you. I cannot give you spiritual enrichment or spiritual nourishment. I cannot set a meal before you. God can't set a meal before us except that he first gives it to the man of God that he might go out. God's going to give it. I'm just a server. God sends it straight from heaven. I am your servant tonight that's going to just set the table before you, and it's up to you tonight whether you choose to eat or not. It was up to you whether you came tonight. It's up to you every time that the doors are open. Nobody has to call you up and tell you that if you're a child of God and you belong to a local assembly of believers that you're supposed to be there. Nobody has to tell you that. I shouldn't have to go through the robo dial or send out a phone tree message and say, "Hey, Brother Jerry," or "Hey, Brother anybody," and say, "Hey, this is your pastor, and we're having church tonight." Bless God, if it's an appointed time that we normally have services, you ought to know readily that, hey, my place is in the house of God. And Brother Derek, it ought to be a given that you're going to be there. Now, the danger of skipping meals is this. First off, you're finding yourself unfaithful. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 4, I believe it to be verse number 2, I jotted that down. It says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that what? That he be found faithful." Now that wasn't a suggestion. The Bible says that. Paul wrote it to the church at Corinth that if it is required of a steward. What is a steward? That is one that has given himself to the stewardship of something greater than he is. And every one of us, Miss Wanda, if we're a Christian, bless God, we belong unto him. And our stewardship and our work should be of him and for him. Our devotion belongs unto him. Any praise belongs unto him. And Brother Derek, we are working because of him, because he has saved us, called us from our life of sin, saved our unworthy soul, Brother Tim, set our feet on a straight course toward heaven. And bless God, that way is a straight way. It's a place that goes straight to heaven. It's a very narrow passage that goes. And so many of us, Brother Tim, we look about like a snake. We're over here, we're over there. Bless God, we want to stay on the straight and narrow because we're going to the straight gate, which the Bible says, "Few there be that find that place." So we get in here, and the Bible says that it is required of a steward that he be faithful. So tonight I want to preach on this about the problem of skipping meals. And you said, "Well, is there a danger of skipping meals?" I found this out by studying on the internet today and yesterday, and whenever I was trying to study this out, I did just a brief history of it. And the most recent formidable study that had been done was by Columbia University. And some of you in here in the healthcare field may be able to tell me more about this than what I'm just able to glean through a quick reading of some of the passages on web. MD and some of the other places that you would go to study about the problems of skipping meals. But it said quickly that some of the very early problems, and they range from just a moderate problem unto severe. The longer you skip, the worse the problem. The longer you skip, the more problem you're going to have down the road. And you'll see that whenever I tell you this. And just hang with me a minute. We're going to get into the Word of God. I'm not preaching a Columbia University study, but it's going to take us to where we're going. It said first off that whenever you skip a meal, some of the very first things could be fatigue. And it could be mild fatigue. It could lead to dizziness. It could lead to fainting. It could lead to a low blood sugar count, which some of y'all in here have sugar problems. You might fall out in here. And some of us don't know what to do, but some of you may know, hey, get them a piece of candy. Get them some orange juice. We've seen people carrying out of the choir before because their blood sugar dropped. But skipping meals can cause some of these things like that. That could lead, later lead, if you continue to skip meals, it could lead to bone loss and sleep slower metabolism. If you've got a slowed down metabolism, guess what? You've got less energy. The less energy you have, your body then goes into a survival mode. As your body goes into a survival mode, what it then is starts converting your muscle mass or your muscle tissue over into fat. Why? Because it wants to store that and it wants to use that. Why? Because fat is where we draw our energy from. But I'm saying all that because I want to spiritualize this thing very quickly. And then the latter part of that, after you start to break down muscle mass and turn it into fatty tissue that it can be consumed as far as energy source, the next thing is this. You have just an unending and an undying craving for something like a carbohydrate, some kind of sugary fix. And then you start eating sugars, and the next thing you know, it's counterproductive whenever you start skipping meals. Now, spiritually speaking, whenever you skip meals and you don't have... Now, when did the Bible say that they were to pick up that manna? Go back to the very first part that I just read. I believe it was verse number 6, if I'm correct. I'll go back over there and catch it to start with. It was in verse number 4, I'm sorry. It said, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread down from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate." When? Every day. Now, if you didn't gather every day, guess what? You skipped a meal. You did not get your manna for that particular day, which means that you skipped a meal. And if you start skipping your daily Bible reading, Brother Chris, it's just a mere time before you then become fatigued. You then become weak. And I'm talking about weak walking. And bless God, we should be walking by faith and not by sight. And once my faith starts to get weak, I'm telling you what, I start to doubt the Word of God. I start to doubt what the man of God's telling me. I start to doubt His promises. I start to doubt everything about Christianity. And brother, I'm telling you, once you start to get weak, the next thing you know, you're not just malnourished, Brother Chris, you're almost famished. And once you get to that point, you're of no good to yourself. Your energy level goes down. You lack enthusiasm to witness. You lack enthusiasm to preach. You lack enthusiasm to study the Word of God. And it just catapults and it gets worse and worse and worse. And then you know what the worst part of that and the latter part was? What? That you start craving the things that you shouldn't be. Brother Chris, that's spiritual. You start craving things in your spiritual diet that you should better leave alone. And you'll start filling that void in your life with the things of the world. And the devices of the world are not going to supplant or take place of that spiritual nourishment that you only get from God's Word. You said, "Do I have to get it every time here on Wednesday and Sunday?" No, bless God, you ought to be getting it daily. You should have a set aside time. I don't care where it is or when it is. If we gave Him our first fruit, it would be very early in the morning, or sometime you would have a little prayer time. I'm going to use Brother Kenny. I don't know where you go, Kenny. I've never seen you. I don't go where you go. I don't hear your beagles running. I don't know what field you go to. I don't know what creek you go down by. But he says he has a place and he likes to go there. It's just him and God. It's not Shirley. It's not a Tim. It's not anybody else. It's just Brother Kenny. And it's Kenny and God. And I'm telling you, my friend, you ought to have a daily walk with God. And if you have a daily walk with God, that, brother, is nourishment to your soul. And that daily feeding, that daily meal that you get, Miss Margaret, it'll sustain you and it'll start the growth process to get closer to God. Am I right or wrong? So we're going to go into the things now. We're going to start out in verse number 4. I want to show you what eating does. What spiritual enrichment does, what spiritual nourishment does to the body of a believer and to the soul of one who walks and talks with God. Miss Debbie, the first thing that it does, it proves your walk is of God. Look what it says in verse number 4. Now, I didn't write this. God did, because He even used the word proves. Here we go, verse number 4. The Bible said, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather at a certain rate every day." That what? "That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Now, Brother Derek, you want to prove your Christianity. You want to prove your devotion unto Almighty God. You want to prove yourself in the walk of faith with God. Then, bless God, start eating of His Word. Start attending the house of God and be faithful to the house of God. If you're a Sunday school teacher here, if you're a deacon here, that's a given. You ought to be here and you ought to come in prayed up. And Brother Derek, if you're teaching a Sunday school class and you come in here, and brother, I shouldn't grabbed yours, that thing exploded like a bomb. But anyway, if you come in here and you read that thing verbatim as if it was written out right out of the quarterly, and it's just written, and you take the notes off the bottom of the quarterly and you read that to your class, they're going to readily know that you did not spend any time with God. I wonder if you prayed over it, and I wonder if you in your own way inquired anything of God that you might be able to just reveal something unto us. Anybody can get up and read it. But it's not just for my deacons. It's not just for the Sunday school teachers. It's not just for the superintendent. It's not just for those that would stand before a class of little ones or anybody. It's for every one of us. Are we only the preachers and teachers? Are we the only ones supposed to be eating? I think we're all eating. I think I like to eat. Yeah, you're the pastor. You should be getting for us that you can feed us. I can't give you what I don't have. Am I right or wrong? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. That's what Peter and John said. We can only give you what we've got. And Brother Kim, I can't give it to you if I don't have it myself. But bless God, I want to give it to you. I want you to have the steak and potato. I don't want you, Brother Tim, to always be on the condensed milk. I don't always want you to be on almond milk or soy milk. Bless God, I want you to be on the whole Word of God. Even the very promises of God, the meat of the Word of God, those things that you don't even understand, those things that it's a mystery unto me. But bless God, we get in there, we dig these things out together. You wouldn't hand, where's my babies at? You wouldn't go back there and hand Sadie, Chris and Jessica Nichols, little baby Sadie, a T-bone or a sirloin. You wouldn't hand that baby a ribeye and say, gnaw on this for a while. No, it has to have the milk. Why? Because it's a babe. And he said, as babes desire the sincere milk. You ought to, Brother Tim, you've been saved for what? 20 years, 30, 40? You ought to be on some meatier things. You ought to be on some of the things of God's word that really starts to question you. I mean, it gets right down there to where you live. That's the steak. That's that stuff that'll sustain. Man, he can chew on that for a while. But that very first thing that I said, it proves your walk with God. I see some people running around sometime, and Brother Chris, they look like and they act like, Brother Jody, you've seen them. They act like they've got the spiritual appetite of a giant. I mean, you look and they're swinging tall. They're riding high, Brother Kippen. They're ready to swing over hell in a rotten grapevine, spit in the devil's eye. They're just that way. They're ready. They got the spiritual appetite of a giant. But when it comes right down to the rubber meets the road, their faith is of a 3-foot midget. Every problem comes along, they just go all to pieces. There's troubled over this and troubled over that. Now, something's wrong. They have not proved their walk with God. And the Bible says, read the latter part of that fourth verse, he said, I will find out that word. If you will eat that, if you will get that manna every day, what it said was, every day a certain rate, that I may prove them whether they walk in my law or no. It'll prove itself out. It'll show up in your daily walk. It'll show up in your faithfulness and your dedication of the house of God. It'll show up where it counts. Whenever sickness comes, you're going to run straight to the man of God, the throne of God, as they did in the days of old, Brother Chris. They would run to Elijah or Elisha. And when, oh, my son, my head, my head. He said, it is well. It shall be well. It is well. And it will be well. But we got to run to God. So it'll prove itself out over time. I've seen these churches, and Brother Kenny and Brother Chris, all these other preachers, well, every one of us has seen them. They pop up all of a sudden. Brother Tim, there it is. It wasn't there, now all of a sudden there it is. It comes up, and it was not just one or two cars. All of a sudden there's 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 or 500. And then suddenly it's like a shooting star. The bulb burned out. Now the storefront building is now boarded back up and they moved on to something else. What happened? What happened? I don't know what happened except that it didn't prove itself out over time. Maybe it was built wrong upon the wrong principles, the wrong precept. Maybe it wasn't on a solid foundation. Maybe it grew up on somebody's idea. Don't run around all big and tall, act like a spiritual giant if you're not actually taking the meatier things of God. Not only will it prove itself out, look what it says, and jump down there to verse number, still in the 16th chapter, but in the 18th verse, and I want to catch another verse over here in number 35. The Bible said, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Verse number 35 said, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. That they did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Not only will it prove itself out over time, but it will give you the spiritual nourishment to accomplish what God has got for you to do. The Bible said that they ate of that bread for 40 years. Now, I've never seen clothes that don't wear out. I've never seen shoes that don't wear out. I've never seen all these things that the Bible talks about. Neither have I seen something that looks about like a cornflake, that's about round and about the size of a dime, that would fall from the sky, that all we've got to do, Brother Tim, is go out there and pick that up. And on the sixth day, what we gonna do on the sixth day? We gonna get enough for the Sabbath day. Why? So that we can rest as unto the Lord, because that's what he told us to do. Now, I'm going to tell you this, Brother Derek. Not only will it prove itself out, but bless God, it will provide you the nourishment. It'll be the provision, Brother Kim. Whenever you still going to Greensboro, I guess Greensboro's about like a cakewalk is. You just go down there and everybody loves you and you love everybody. It's an easy drive. There's never any traffic to contend with. Nobody's waving at you with a California Heidi. Everything's just perfect down there in your perfect utopian environment. Am I right or wrong? Exactly as I described. If it's exactly as I described, then you need no sustaining. You need no provision. But if that sarcasm, and that is a given language of which Macy has a PhD or master's degree, she's probably got a master's in it at least. Let me tell you, brother, I need God's provision. There's going to be somebody that's going to get hung up on today by me. I do it almost every week. Somebody calls me up. And brother, they're using language I've not heard since I was in the military. And brother James, I'll say, I'm not going to listen to this. Call me back whenever you clean your language up. And I'll hang up on them. They'll call back and say, you can't hang up on me, you're a governor. I don't care. Click, hang up on them again. They will eventually get the message. I'm not going to listen to it. I don't have to listen to it. And I can't help the phone keeps getting hung up. I hit this button and it goes dead. But what am I saying? I need spiritual nutrition. I need the provisions of God because I'm going to need a little measure of grace. He says some days, Brother Derek, they got a little more than they did the day before. Why? Because some days, my friend, Brother Buddy, someday you're going to need a little more grace than you did yesterday. It might be grace because your daughter's getting married in October the 20th. And not only for that reason, but who she's marrying, cause you need a little more grace. And not only that, Brother Chris, there's going to be something that's going to come up and it's going to be right in front of you, Brother Troy, and you're going to have to face that thing. But God, you need grace to face that. My little brother and I and my older brothers, we all needed some grace on March the 20th. We had never needed before. Why? At that particular time, on March the 19th, she still had both her parents. On March the 19th, I still had both my parents. We've neither one, Brother Gary, had to go down that road. For me to go back and find that level and that depth of grief, I had to go all the way back to the passing of my grandparents. I didn't know grief that way. I was not accompanied with grief. I've stood by your sickness. I've stood by your sickness. I've stood by your death. Everybody in here has got some attachment, Miss Ann. I was there the night you said grace showed up. I remember that as well as I'm standing here. But honey, I didn't need that measure of grace until it was my turn to need it. But it was there. Grace showed up. And why, Brother Gary? Because I stay daily in the Word of God. And that food, it nourishes me, Brother Derek. And it's my provision whenever that time does come. It's always there. It proves my walk. Brother Gary, it proves whether or not I am what I say I am. I've attached something to my name, Brother Kippy. Do y'all realize, say the date, May 16th. Do you realize on May the 6th, I didn't realize this until today. My wife sent me a text and she said, happy anniversary. I thought she'd fell off the nut truck. She said, this is the 16th anniversary. May the 16th, 16 years ago, brother, from the second pew back at Ronda Baptist Tabernacle, Brother Danny Dillard getting ready to run a revival. And I fell on the altar on my face before God and told him that I would surrender to preach his word. Amen. Now, I've attached something to my name, Brother Kippy. 16 years ago, I took on the title saying I'm going to be a preacher. Brother Derek Hodges knows what I'm talking about. Brother Kenny Anderson, he knows what I'm talking about. You start telling people that you are a preacher. And then beyond that, Brother Gary, you say that I'm a pastor. You start putting these attachments to your name. I teach a Sunday school class. I'm a deacon. I play the piano. I do this. I do that. Brother, I'm telling you what. You better be eating the Word of God. And you better be spiritually nourished up before God. Because you're going to need that to prove your walk out. And it'll be that provision whenever the troubles come your way. You ever needed any provisions? Ever just need any sustenance in your life? Yeah, you did. I want to show this to James and Ken. Where are my veterans at? Got a bunch of veterans in here tonight. Did y'all ever eat MREs? Anybody know what MREs are? Well, see, it's the same thing. C-Rash. Maybe y'all were you a CB or Army? I'm surprised y'all had anything. What'd you have? What'd you call it? MREs. Meals ready to eat, right? That's what we had, MREs. Did y'all like, anybody like MREs? Raise your hand. I love them things. I did. I had grew up, and listen, I'm not downgrading or denigrating my parents, my mom, my dad. I've told you before, Miss Lynn, we were the poor people. That poor people came to our house to see how poor people lived. There was one day we would have beans and potatoes. For you, Brother Tim, it was taters. Beans and taters. And guess what tomorrow we would have? Taters and beans. And guess what you had on Wednesday? You had beans and taters. And the stewed potatoes that you've eaten out of for 3 days, they've now just about turned into mush. They throw in a couple handfuls of flour, chop up an onion, put it in there, patty it out. Now guess what we had? Now we had beans and tater cakes. And I'm telling you, whenever I got to the military, I love those MREs. Brother, I've got a delicacy set before you. You said, what were they? It was a little plastic pouch about that long. And in that little plastic pouch, Brother Jody, you popped the seal on that thing. You never knew what you were getting because it didn't say on the outside. That's like opening up a can of whatever. You don't know what's in there. It could be peaches. It could be Alpo. But whatever it was, you're going to eat it. And brother, it was usually got causing me to tremble now thinking about it. Dehydrated fatty beef pork byproducts. All you had to do is add water. It was good. And now I eat it. It's called jalapeno Viennas. It's the same thing, really. It really is the same thing. But look into the Word of God. I'm going to show you where I was going with that. In chapter number 17, we're moving over to Exodus chapter number 17. And you would read with me from, I'm not going to read the whole passage of text, but from 17:1 down through 17 number 8, the Bible says that Moses is getting ready to enter into a great battle. And the Bible said he's getting ready to face up with a man by the name of Elimelech, which is an enemy of God. Verse number 8 said they came to Amalek and fought with him and Israel fought with Amalek at Rephidim. And then Moses and Joshua said, choose us out men that should go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said, and he fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And I'm going to tell you right now, my friend, you are going to get heavy in this battle. There will be things, Miss Lynn. Honey, they just about crush you under the weight of that. That's why you don't skip meals. You're going to need that strength. You are going to need that provision after it's proved you out. And bless God, the next thing is it prepares you for battle. Those things, Brother Robert, I was coming up the road and I was praying and thinking. It was kind of quiet in the car and maybe Cindy and Macy's talking. And I said, Macy, you got your phone out? She said, yeah. And I said, Google me this. Google me the caloric intake on a standard MRE. And she said, okay. And she come up with this and about 2 seconds. It's amazing what you can find out there. She said every MRE consists of about 1,250 calories, 13% protein, 36% fat, but 51% carbohydrates. And every service member was to prepare and eat about 3 a day. Wow. Eating almost 4,000 calories a day, of which 51% of that comes straight from carbohydrates. That's your lemon drop candies. That's your carbohydrates. Now, what did I tell you early? That if you don't eat and you start skipping meals, Brother Chris, as the muscle mass breaks down, turns to fat, what's your body want? It craves the carbohydrates. Why? Because it wants some energy. Well, just as those MREs, Brother Gary, will prepare you for the battle. Mass God, if you want to be prepared for the battles of life, if you want to be prepared to do what you need to do for God, Mass God, don't skip meals. When the church doors are open, be there. When God shows up, Mass God, get involved in it. Pray, seek His word, seek His will, and do it daily, Brother Chris. The Bible said they went out and did it daily. If any man would be my disciple, let him lay aside everything, Brother Chris. Lay his sins aside. Lay his pride aside. Lay everything aside and take up his cross daily. Amen. Daily. And follow me. Amen. Those MREs, they prepare the soldier for battle. Are we going to face any battles? Brother Gary, you ever face any battles in your Christian walk of faith? I'm telling you what. Some of you have scriptural verses that you hold very true to. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13 would have to be somebody in here. Is that somebody's life verse, somebody's favorite verse? Nobody's chosen that one. Philippians 4, 13 says what, Brother Chris? What? Man, you're a loud one. Somebody yell that out. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now listen, I'm telling you, this daily walk, it provides you the energy to face the battles. And Brother Derek, the Bible said we fight not against flesh and blood. If you can fight flesh and blood, that flesh and blood, Brother Tim, I tell you what, I'd lay him out like a pot. I'd take something, I'd lay him out, but I can't see my adversary, Brother Buddy. I don't see him. That's because he comes in principalities, in spiritual wickedness in high places. It's darkness all around us, Brother Tim. And we cannot see our adversary, but he's there. You believe me, he's there. And I'm no match for him. I'm not. You might be got some kind of a spiritual juggernaut. You're the beefy one. I'm not. I'm a weakling. I'm a wimp when it comes to spiritual battle against Satan. But I tell you what, greater is he that's in me. And that's where I have to draw my strength from. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's where my hope comes from. How you going to get that, Brother Derek, if you keep skipping meals? How you going to get that if you never have a daily Bible reading? How you going to get that if you don't spend a little time talking to your Heavenly Father? How you going to do that if you keep skipping meals? I come in this evening. I'm telling you what. My wife was upstairs in the bathroom getting ready, and as soon as I walked in, I didn't know exactly what it was. But Brother Kippy, it just about took my breath. What is that? So naturally, I started sniffing around a little bit. And on the stove, she had this big old pot. And she'd cut up about four big old chicken breasts and cut and shredded it up in there. And she poured in some green peppers and chilies and some jalapenos and some green peppers. And I'm telling you what, brother. My mama's gone. I wouldn't ever want to slap your mama, but that'd make you want to slap your mama. It was smelling the house, and man, my mouth started watering. I'm thinking, what time's Macy getting home? I'm going to have, so what did I do? I did what any husband would do. I can't let that stuff sit there and not make sure it's fit for somebody. So she was upstairs, and I went up and hugged her, told her I was home, and snuck back down there. I took me a fork out, got me a big chunk of that chicken, burnt my mouth off. I still got a blister. But the anticipation of getting to eat that. Man, my mouth started watering. My tongue started beating my brain out, Brother Gary. It started getting feverish around there. But you know what? I already knew what God had put in my heart to preach tonight. Why, brother? Because I've been praying over it. And I got to thinking, well, I wouldn't want to miss this meal. Why? It was made with a labor of love. I mean, my wife had labored over that. She said there was a lot of prep went into that chicken. There's a lot of work went into that. I'm like, I was hoping she didn't have to wring its neck and pluck it and cut the feathers off. That's what we used to have to do. Some of y'all grew up that way, Brother Jerry. We caught the one we could catch, and that's the one that we ate. But I knew what was going on in my heart, Brother Gary. I knew that I was getting ready to come over here tonight, and I knew that I was getting ready to preach about skipping a meal. Boy, I'd hate to have missed that one. Wouldn't that have been awful, Brother Gary, if I get ready to do it and I stir it and a big old roach about that long rose up and it start, ooh, that would mean that the food was tainted. How many times have you ever been in the house of God and man, something just tainted the work right before your very eyes? Man, just kind of made you sick at your stomach. You've been there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have. I know you. Yeah, you have. We all have. Just when you were looking forward to it. I mean, you're hungry. Your spiritual appetite has been wet. And I mean, you're ready, Brother Kim. You're ready to dine. But all of a sudden, something just turned your stomach. You had to skip that meal. But it's because something just was wrong. Brother Tim, those things, if they're consumed, will prepare you. They'll not just prove your time. The Bible said proves you that you're in the law or no. And they'll prepare you for what's coming down the line, Brother Derek. They'll be your provision. They'll prepare you for battle. And then I'm going to go on down to chapter. I got to go into the New Testament now. John chapter number 6. You said, I thought you was preaching about the manna. How can you preach about the manna and not go to John chapter number 6? John chapter number 6, we'll pick up our reading with, probably pick it up in, all through, starting in verse number 29, he starts talking about being the bread. On down through there, he talks about that whole chapter. Verse number 41 said, the Jews murmured at him because he said that I am the bread that came down from heaven. But I'm going to pick up the reading in verse number 48. He said, I am that bread of life. Here's the word of the use of manna. It said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He said, I am the living bread. Now I want you to get a hold of this, because this is my last point of the four that I've given you tonight. Every one of those meals that my wife has fed me for the last 31 years have sustained me. I can't tell you every one of them, Brother Derek, but I ate every one of them. And I'm going to be honest with you. The times that growing up, Miss Laura, you grew up with a big family. All them boys, Bob and Woody and all of them, trying to root you out, the little sister out of the trough. And you got what was left, not what you wanted, not what was first. You got what was left. I don't know how it is around your house, but do many times, Miss Kim, do you go through and say, BJ, what do you want to eat? Ben, what do you want to eat? Brianna, what do you want to eat? Kayla, what do you want to eat? Grace, what do you want? Hannah, what would you like? And then you go in there and you fix a pizza, a hot dog. You fix some green beans, some corn, some okra, some... No, you don't do that. You fix a meal and you come and dine. Is that pretty much what happens? That's the way it was at the house. Mama fixed something, we come in there and we ate. And if you didn't like it, Brother Chad, you didn't eat. You just didn't get any of it. But kids today, they'll shove the plate back. I don't like that. I don't want that. I want chicken nuggets, and I don't want nothing but chicken nuggets. And that's the way that it is. Let me tell you, God's Word, it's got whatever you need. I promise you that. Brother, if you hurt, Brother Dean, tonight, if you're hurting, there's comfort in this message. I promise you, you will find comfort in this if you're hurting. If you're convicted of because you're lost, that conviction's strong. And bless God, if you're here and you're walking wayward to the will of God and the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, there's a gentle chastisement in every message. Whatever it is, there's something for every single one of us in every single message. He doesn't send a message to 250 people, brother, on a Sunday morning and it just be for one person. It's for all of us. If it's conviction to the lost, it is for him and it is conviction. But if you're the one battling some kind of depression, or you're battling some kind of sickness or some kind of bereavement, my God, it's going to be comfort to you, and that's the way it'll come across to you. Amen. That's exactly what it'll be. It'll be what you need on that day. I promise you that. Amen. This last part that I'm showing you is this. If you skip meals, you're going to miss some of the promises of God, Brother Jody. And the worst of all would be if you're sitting here lost and you're saying, I'm not going to partake in that. And you push away from the table. Or worse, you come in and you leave and you don't even stay for the meal. Or maybe the lights are on and you say, well, I'm just not going tonight. I know I should be going Sunday, but I'm not going to go. Guess what? I don't care what I serve. I'm not preaching to the ones that are not here, Brother Kenny. I'm preaching to the ones that are. And a lot of times people get to thinking, man, if they'd have been here, they'd have got it. And I'm not preaching to the ones that's not here. I'm preaching to the ones that are. But here's the sad part. Skipping meals can cost you to miss the blessings and the spiritual promises of God. You say, what spiritual promises? I stopped just shy of it, and I'll now read it to you. The Bible said in verse number 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Listen to that promise. My friends, if you got a red letter Bible, Brother Chris, that's important. Why? Because that's a promise from God. He said that if any man eat of this bread, he shall. It didn't say might, it said he shall live forever. And that bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then it said the Jews therefore strove against themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? And then Jesus said, and I want you to hear this, unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat and the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Bless God, he didn't just say that I am the bread of life, brother. It goes on and said, I am the resurrection. Whenever they said, we know that our brother Lazarus shall rise again at the last day, he said, I am the resurrection. Bless God, hang on to that promise. You want to go to be with heaven, be with Jesus in heaven, then bless God, start partaking in his promises and start trusting in the food that he's given you. It's enrichment. It's serious business. There's a danger in skipping meals. There's a danger in not studying your word of God. There's a danger, Brother Jody, I ain't going tonight. Just don't feel good. Don't feel like it. There's a difference in reasons and excuses. The Bible said that there was a man that made a great supper. You remember that? And the Bible said that he's told him to go out and bring people in. Bring in the halt and the lame, the maimed. Bring them all. And the Bible said, Brother Tim, that they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. Now, excuses are different than reasons. A reason's what you've had. A reason's what you've had. You've been sick. You just can't go. That's a reason. Excuses are these that use your own reasons. You know what they are. I won't even start making up. But anyway, they prove out your walk with the Lord. They'll provide you the spiritual nourishment to accomplish the things God's got for you to do. They'll prepare you for the battles that you're going to face against Satan, both now and in the days to come. And then they will give you the promises of the Word of God. Now, if your relationship with God's not right, guess what? It's because you've been skipping meals. Either in your private devotion time with him, maybe it could be that you're spiritually malnourished and you just don't feel, you feel like a weakling. You feel like a weakling. Come here, Troy. Come here, Chris. Now, looking at these two boys, you would think that one was a spiritual, or a giant, and one was not so much. But do you realize that if Chris was not feasting daily on the Word of God and Troy was, that he would be the giant and he would be the anemic, bulimic, nothing? You can go ahead and sit down. Just because a man looks like something, I think that Chris was the strong one. You might be 10 times stronger than him. You're both preachers. You both accepted the call of God to preach the Word. But the one, I'm going to tell you, the one that wins the battle between, not between you and you, but between you and you, is the one you feed. Have you ever heard that? There's enmity in a man's heart. Yeah, Jody's all over it. There's a battle going on, a spiritual thing in a man's heart. That enmity that's there is between the carnal man or the fleshly man and the spiritual man. And it was said of an old Indian proverb concerning the one that you feed is the one that wins. And that's a true story. If you feed it, the carnal man, and you feast on the junk of the world, and you never feed that inner spiritual man, when it comes time, you know what's going to happen? Your metabolism's going to slow down. You're going to become spiritually impoverished. And then what happens? This is medical proof. You start craving the stuff that you shouldn't have. You start craving the sugars. You start craving junk. Spiritually speaking, you start craving the things. Folks, there's a reason we don't have smoke and fogs and drums and mirrors and bells and whistles and hoops and all that stuff in here. We're not going to do that. I don't want it to look like a rock concert or some kind of a venue where there's something like that going on in the house of God. You say, well, if we did all that, we might get some of them worldly people in here. They'd come in here, they'd just be like they are out there. What's the use in coming in here? The Bible says for us to touch not the unclean thing. The Bible says come out from among them. So how are we going to, if we're going to not bring them in here, and we got to go out there. Because in that same passage of Scripture, the Bible said whenever they all began to make excuse, then what did he say, Brother Chris? He said, you go out now into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. Go get them all. How are you going to go out there and get anybody, Brother Tim, if you're not spiritually strong? There's a danger in skipping meals, my friend. I'm getting ready to, Brother Scott and Miss Macy, come up here. Just get ready. I'm going to keep going down below where I stopped in John chapter number 6. Verse number 58 said, "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Folks, we're not eating of the manna that come down from heaven. We have no hoarfrost on the ground. But what we do have is the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. So I'm going back to our earlier scripture, chapter number 16, verse number 4. The Bible said that I will rain bread down from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove whether they walk in my law or no. And then it goes over in verse number 18, and it said, "He that gathered much had nothing over." Guess what, Brother Chris? It was exactly what you needed for that day. There was none left over. And the Bible said, "He that gathered little, he had no lack." It was just enough. It was sustaining. It was perfect. And that's the way the Lord is. He's always just enough. Always just right. Right on time. Right in his... Everything about him is perfect. Perfect. Brother Scott, what have you got?